Good afternoon. I would like to thank everyone for your interest in Immigrant Health. My name is Fiona Au. I teach at California State University, Dominguez Hills. And before I started my career in teaching, I work as a health educator for APIT Health Center. And I was involved in this research with Chinese massage parlor workers. And this is what I am going to talk about today. It's a qualitative study of the stressors and mental health challenges of Chinese massage parlor workers. Okay. So I have no financial relationships to disclose. So before we start the discussion, you may ask, Asian women and HIV, you know, I thought they are model minority. But the statistics is telling a different story. According to the CDC, between 2001 and 2004, Asian females in the United States aged 15 to 39 has the highest increasing HIV diagnosis rate compared to any other ethnic group. Asian women in the U.S. are 20% more likely to contract HIV compared to white women. So beginning in 2005 at APIT Health Center in LA, we started getting a lot of requests from Chinese women for HIV education. And we were all really puzzled because the HIV stigma is so severe in the Chinese population that why would they want HIV education? And then we dig deeper and we found that all these women were massage parlor workers and they got arrested. The court mandated HIV testing as well as HIV education. That's why we're getting all these requests from Chinese women. However, at the time, it's still the fact that there's very limited HIV services and education in LA in their language. So what these women could do was to go attend a session in English, come up with a certificate of completion, but they did not learn a thing in the HIV education. So this is really problematic because these women need the HIV prevention education to protect themselves. So starting in 2007, we got a grant from Johnson & Johnson's to pilot a program called the Sisterhood Project. It is an adaptation of SISTA, which is an evidence-based intervention targeting African-American women. So we decided to adapt this curriculum and similar to Jocelyn's experience, it's super difficult to translate assertiveness, which is a central concept in SISTA, into Chinese. The concept is just not there. So we had to be really creative in terms of how we adapt our curriculum. The program's focus is to increase HIV knowledge, condom use, and also negotiation skills. And we also hope to establish the social network for this really isolated immigrant women population. Okay. So in 2010, we received a grant from California HIV/AIDS Research Program to evaluate the effectiveness of the Sisterhood Project. It's a randomized control trial. For the control condition, we have an hour of HIV 101 information session for this woman. And the program condition is the adapted SISTA curriculum. It's a two-day workshop with skill-building scenarios to help this woman actually develop skills to negotiate. This study is a qualitative analysis from the facilitator notes. So as the facilitator, we took notes of everything that happened, every conversation that happened during the workshop, as well as the side conversation. So we actually document everything that happened in order to come up with strategies how to help these women. Okay. So just a little background information on who these women are. So majority of our participants are immigrants from mainland China. So before they came to the country, they are already in debt. They had to pay a high fee to these agencies to help them arrange the visas, to help them find a place to stay in the U.S. We're talking about $30,000, even before they arrive at this U.S. And once they get here, they would need to pay about $4,000 to $10,000 to immigration lawyer to try to get their status straight. Okay. And in order to become a masseuse, you need to go to massage schools in order to get a license. But because they don't speak English, they cannot go to reputable massage schools. So they end up going to this massage school set up by Chinese people. We call them schools, but think a very small office space with massage chairs. And they pay about $2,000 to $3,000 to get through these schools, but these schools lose their accreditation very frequently, so they don't get the tuition back and they don't get their license at the end. So they will hop from one school to another school, paying all this tuition. And the license exam at the end is in English. So even though they have all the skills to become a masseuse, because of the language barrier, they may not get that license at the end. Okay. So employment is really limited for this population. The most frequently reported career that they can take in the U.S. is restaurant or senior care or being a masseuse. And very frequently, they cycle through these three careers. So if you work in senior care, these women are usually required to live with the seniors, which means that the work hours is really long. It's very difficult if they have their own children and they really don't have time to take care of them. The pay is the lowest among the all three job options. This woman can also work at restaurants, which pays about $2,000 a month. But it's really hard labor to work at a restaurant. You have to stand all day and, you know, lift heavy things. And for this woman, they are a little older. The average age is about 45. So the restaurants may not even take them. So really, the last resort is to work as a masseuse. The average income is about $3,000 a month, but you are facing sexual harassment from male clients and also possibility of getting arrested. Okay. So I'm going to talk about three major stressors that these women reported. The first one is unstable income. So they're already paying a lot to just come into the country. These are average income reported by women who do sex work in massage parlors. If you do hand jobs, you earn about $6,000 a month. If you do sexual intercourse and blow jobs, you earn about $10,000 a month. Okay. I should also mention that if you work as a masseuse in the massage parlor, you don't get paid per hour. So you only get that cut of the massage fee if you have a client. Okay, so this code is about sexual harassment that these women face every single day when men feel like it's acceptable to touch the masseuse while they're receiving the massage. There are also foot massage parlors in Los Angeles. These parlors, it's a big communal room with chairs. But then if you look at the kind of pay you're getting, if you just do foot massage, which can prevent you from getting sexual harassment, you only make $7 per hour. And even if you have clients after clients for the whole day, for 7 days, you are still making less than minimum wage. So there's a lot of financial incentive for these women to do full body massage, which put them at risk for sexual harassment and HIV. Okay. The second stressor is for these women who work at massage parlors are the fear of getting arrested. They are facing very severe legal fees, at least $2,000 to pay the lawyers if they get arrested. They need to attend HIV classes and testing, which costs money. This quote is from a client who insisted that the arrest was false and it was due to a cultural or language misunderstanding. He said that the undercover cop was asking her if she has condom, and she thought it was just a conversation, and she said, oh, you go buy condoms. And then the cop come back in saying that this woman was soliciting sex work. Okay. Another very severe consequence of getting arrested is the threat to the immigration status. So if the woman does not have a permanent green card, she may face deportation. But even if the woman has a permanent green card, it's very hard for them to become citizen. And it's not just the fact that it's harder for them to switch career, but they may have family in China. And the fact that they cannot get citizenship makes it very hard for them to bring their family over. Okay. New hires are more likely to be arrested. A lot of women express that more experienced women would know that some characteristics of undercover cop, and they would try to just offer sex work to returning clients, but new hires may not know these rules, and they're more likely to get arrested. Okay. They are also facing a lot of stigma just for working in massage parlors. Really, the most heartbreaking part is that the family does not understand them. They would tell the family in China that they work as a masseuse, and the family would immediately call them prostitutes, which is very heartbreaking. And one client reported that she attempted suicide twice because she's constantly in depression for working massage parlors. I have a client who came to me and told me that, you know, my son just got into Caltech. I feel like all my sacrifice was worth it. Like, these stories are very powerful. Why these women sacrifice so much for their family. Okay. And the last point I want to talk about is, you know, what's their dating partner situation? So we assume that a lot of them are single, but it's not true. A lot of them are married. But the situation is a lot more complicated. A lot of them have long-distance husbands who are in China. So this client is saying that the whole family got approved to come to the U.S., but the husband decided to stay behind, which is very common because the husband does not want to sacrifice the career in China. So a lot of times the mother would bring the child to the U.S. for better opportunity and education. And they say in the U.S. they have to deal with the loneliness, and they may start dating another boyfriend in addition to having a husband. A lot of them also say that they got divorced in China, and then they remarry in the U.S., but then the new husband is not willing to pay for the expenses of the previous child, so they have to work at massage parlor to support their kids in China from the first marriage. Okay. Thank you.